Jesus. And the reason that I wanted them to sing that song, Higher Grounds, because that's exactly what this verse of Scripture is talking about. Even the symbolizing all these different valleys around Jerusalem, around the Palestine area, as I said, all these different valleys, they have symbolic meanings and they have difficulties and trials. All our trials comes in a time of our valleys, not when we're on the mountaintop, but while we're in the valleys. And this song that they sung, Higher Ground, that each day that we're looking for the higher ground. All through life, we're going through all these difficulties. We're going through these problems and valleys of decisions and valleys of weeping and valleys of lamentation, valleys of trouble. But we're looking for higher ground. They're looking for higher ground. So the shepherd in the springtime, they brought the sheep down and they grazed them around the Jordan River where the grass was green and they would be kind of fat. But when the summertime come over in Israel and Palestine area, it got real hot. I've never been there, but they say the heat is tremendous. So what they would do, well, they would climb up to a higher ground in the summertime. And as they go through this valley, they had to go through this valley of the shadow of death. Now, there's really a valley in Palestine called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And its most familiar valley in all the Bible is the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Now, you may not remember any of these other valleys that I'm talking about, but you remember and you know what I'm talking about when I talk about this valley, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And it's a real valley over there in Palestine. That old song is another old song. We must walk this lonesome valley. We must walk it ourselves. Each one of us got to walk this lonesome valley. Just you and Jesus have to walk this valley. Well, the sheep, they graze this land. And, you know, as a land, as they graze, we know that sheep, they'll stay in one place until they graze the grass so close until the grass, the pasture lands will just die. And it's called barren land. So as they graze these sheep down around the river area in the springtime, they graze it down so much that the land becomes barren, the lowlands. And then move to higher land. They move to the higher land, to the homeland up on top high. Well, David used this background of the shepherd and his sheep to all of our experiences in our life. As we go through these valleys, each one of us, difficulties, weeping and all this, you know, it becomes a time in our life that these valleys, really as we look at it, they're weeping, they're decisions, and it's time for us to move up. Our life has been barren now. When we graze all the green pastures and we find out the drink of this sweet water of the Lord, but then it comes time to move up. And as I thought about this so many times, you know, and I've been with this father there several different times, and I've been around death a good bit for the last 2 weeks. I'm telling you, there's been a lot of death this past, you know, Sister Scrap, and then I've just been around a lot of death. And you see, sometime in our life, we're going to find out that our lives becomes barren. That's what the Lord showed me. And all these valleys that we go through, and all the green grass that we eat on this side of eternity, but there's going to come a time, as I watched her laying on that bed, you know, the barrenness of her life then, it came time to move up on higher ground. This is what David was telling us, the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It says, you know, yes, yea means yes, I'm going to walk through this. Exclamation is of confidence, a declaration of faith. It's a shout of praise and joy. Yes, he said, is what he's talking about. Because he's been through all these little valleys. You know, the body's going to take all it can take of this old life. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David says, you know, looking at death through the eyes of a shepherd and through the sheep as taking our last journey. And I like for us to think about the comfort through the valley. And, you know, I try to visualize. There's no way that we can really visualize our death. Have you ever tried to visualize your death? How old you're going to be? You know, what it's going to be like when I'm going to take my last breath and try to visualize your death, really, because you see, this is going to be you and the Lord. That's all. Just you and the Lord. Families, they can't help you. Loved ones, daughters, nobody ain't going to help you. It's going to be you and the Lord. That's all. You and the Lord. So the comfort of walking through this valley, As I said, Israel in this land, that's a real valley, a real place, and it's about 4.5 miles long, 1,500 miles some places deep, and about some places so narrow that it's only about 12 feet wide. Difficult, but it's possible to pass. Always a place of danger, a place where the wolves and the predators and the robbers would be in this valley. A real valley there, it's named that. But we see death clearer because we have the comfort as we go through this valley of the shadow of death. And we must go through, you know, we must have this appointment time. You know, that's appointed time. Death is very clear because we have an appointed time with that. I don't know when my time is. You don't know when your time is, but it's appointed. Me and George, we find ourselves going to the doctor about once or twice, or some of you about three times a week, or that, or the dentist, or someone always got an appointment. And sometimes we might miss that appointment and have to reschedule it. Y'all ever done that? Have to reschedule that appointment? But Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, you will have and you will meet that appointment. You won't reschedule it, and you won't miss it. You will be there at that time. But death is a decided factor for us because God said it was. And to the lost people, I'm going to tell you, it's a dark, everlasting valley. It's a fact of death. But to the saved, you know, the valley of shadow of death, you know, it could be a friend to us. You know, because we know the shadow of a dog can't bite you, and the shadow of a sword can't cut you, and the shadow of a truck can't run over you, and the shadow of a pistol can't shoot you. But remember, it's a shadow. And always you see a shadow, that always there must be light if they're going to be a shadow. God is light. Now, to say we're not going to everlasting darkness, but we're going into everlasting light. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the just is as the light shineth, that shineth more and more into that perfect day. And then Luke 1:78-79 says, though the tender mercy of our Lord, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the ways of peace. They must be light. Shadow means there's light shining somewhere. And we need to see death clearly as we know that there's a light there for us as we go through that valley. It's just a shadow. But we need to see death with this confidential, because it says, yea, though I walk, not just in the valley, into the valley, but through the valley. To the saved, you know, death is not a dead-end street. We think, well, that's our final. It seems like it's so final that we say goodbye to our loved ones. But death's not a dead-end street. Always where there's a valley, there's always an entrance, but there's always an exit. The valley of the shadow of death. There's entrance going into it, but there's an exit going out of it. We must see it calmly. Yea, though I walk. And this calmly, this word is I walk. That's the calmness that we need. He didn't say, yea, though I'll jump through the valley. Yea, though I'll jerk or run or jog, as we some of us do. But the calmness shows us that someone out is taking a morning stroll walking. The calmness of walking through this valley that we fear, this valley of the shadow of death. The calmness will come over you. The presence of God, I said, will be more real at that time. You've never, ever experienced, and I have not either, the calmness when you're face to face with God going through that valley of the shadow of death. There's no way that we can tell anybody else about it, because when we meet God face to face going through that valley, it's going to be just for us. Well, we gain so much, the calmness, because we gain so much physically. Death for the saved is a friend. As we know these old bodies, as I watch the bodies as they begin to perish away, and I watch Miss Violet's body and a lot of other times, at the times of funerals, I go back to see people and see these old bodies, they begin to perish away. And every one of our bodies today is perishing each day. There'll come a time, you see, when death might be a great friend to us. and we view it as an enemy. But I'm going to tell you, before you get through these old bodies, I'm going to tell you, you might be nothing but just a pile of bones and a bag of pain, and you may be looking for death to come. And death might be a very, very friend to you, because these old bodies, we know, is getting older every day, and they're wearing out. Calmness of death be a friend to us because of the social network that we have. You know, if we live long enough, you're going to have more over there than you have over here. So it's a gain for us, you know, for our social. If we live long enough, you know, we think about it, and a lot of time when people live to be older and older and older, you ever notice that, you know, the young person dying, everybody just be coming there. There's so many people come to a young person's funeral. But you know, the older you get, you think more people know. But no, they've come to the time, the older people, less people come. Why? Because most people know they're done gone. They're done gone to the other side. So we know what we're going to gain. We're going to gain that we're going to be with loved ones. But you see, we have this mental that we gain mentally too. Because you see, sometimes I go into a room to get something, I get in there and forgot what I went after. Y'all don't ever done that, have you? What'd I do? My keys. Y'all see my keys? Look for my glasses, they be on your face. Y'all got some problems, haven't you? I was in my study the other day, and my glasses was laying right there on my book, and I was looking all over the place for my glasses, and there was laying right in front of me on my book. You know? So we got something to gain, you know, these senior moments that we have. These senior moments. But you see, we got the best benefit because we're going to gain spiritually. We'll open up eternity for us. Open up eternity for us in the presence of Jesus Christ. The comfort of through the valley. Companionship through the valley. This companionship. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, for that is, we have the personal assurance of God's word in that verse of scripture. And God cannot lie. Psalm 53:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. You better think about that. Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ? Now, as I said, David had been talking about how great God has been to him in these first few verses. As we might say, count your blessings, name them one by one. Well, as you think about it tonight, God's met all your needs, have you not? The blessings we can, each one of us, stand up here tonight, and we get here until daylight talking about how good and the things that God has given us here in this life. Just think about the goodness of God, all these blessings. But then David quits talking about all the blessings that God has given him, and you'll quit talking about all the blessings God has given you through your life, and then you're going to start talking about how great God is right then. As I said, that present, thou art with me. It's not what God has done for us all the life that we travel in all these valleys of weeping and trouble, sorrow and difficulty. We'll stop thinking about all the time he's been with us in the valley, of what he's done for us, and then we start thinking how great that he is right now. In the valley of the shadow of death. As we sing, or Margot sings that song so great, how great thou art right now in the valley of the shadow of death. Emmanuel means God with us. Hebrews 13:5 it says, let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things that you have. That's what he's done for us. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That verse sums that whole thing up. Be content what God has given us. But he says, now I won't never leave thee nor forsake thee, even in the valley of the shadow of death. I will be closer to you than any other time, because we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, the shepherd is one is out front leading his sheep. As they go through this valley, you'll find out that the shepherd is right there beside them, because the territory there, we find out, is the shepherd's already been through. He's already walked through that valley and the dark gorge that he's already been through. I was reading where people was visiting, like I said, Darrell been over visiting, you know, the Holy Lands, and they was touring the bus, and a man asked the bus driver, they saw a man and he was driving the sheep. And he said, I thought the shepherd was supposed to lead his sheep. And the tour guide says, that's not a shepherd, that's a butcher. He's driving those sheep. to the slaughter. And the shepherd leads his sheep. Through that valley he's already been. Joseph of Arimathea, you remember that he's the one that let Jesus use his tomb for a little while. You know, that was his tomb that Jesus Christ was buried in. And after resurrection, can you imagine old Joseph going up that tomb? His tomb, after Jesus Christ has been there in the resurrection, that Jesus Christ had already left that tomb. I just wonder about what old Joseph of Arimathea said about his tomb. Huh, he said, I bet Jesus Christ done cleaned out my tomb. I bet he wasn't near as worried about it after he knew that Jesus Christ done been through it. As I told you before, I have, me and George have our headstones and all out there at Mill Creek Cemetery. Some of y'all got y'all in different places. You know, you can just go out there and say, well, you know, Jesus Christ done been through that one. He done been through my tomb. How about yours? He done been there. You know, I tried to rent me one. They wouldn't rent it. Well, we're not going to use it forever, you know. It's just going to be there a little while. But anyway, what Joseph thought about that because of the companionship through that valley. Oh, but you see, there's something else coming. Consolation we have through this valley. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We see the rod, it guides me. That rod is a rod of protection, and it guides us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, he says, I will be with thee. And thou through the river, thou shalt not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. He says, I shall be with thee. That rod's a weapon in the hands of a skilled shepherd. It was a very helpful instrument that he used. I know that a lot of people have seen on Westerns where the old Indians out there in the Western days used a tomahawk. Well, a shepherd could use this rod like an Indian could use this tomahawk. And what it was just a root with a big old knot on the end of it. Anybody ever know what a lighter knot is? You youngins, y'all don't know what a lighter knot is. Y'all do know what a lighter knot is? Well, so you have, they come in all different sizes, a lighter knot. That's why sometimes there'd be a big old knot on the end of it. Well, that's something similar to what this rod was. And they could throw this thing, you know, and with accuracy because they used it all the time. Maybe they might have used it on a sheep once in a while, but mostly for their predators, they use this because it was for protection. So this rod, it guards me, it protects me as we go through this valley of shadow of death, because a lot of time they have wolves or bears or whatever that you read about what they've done. And then the staff, it also, it guides me, this staff. And you know what a staff is, you know, that stick with a long crook in it, and they use that, you know, to pull the sheep back. A lot of time we get too close to the edge of danger, and they reach over and pull them back like God reaches and pulls us back with his staff. And, you know, a lot of times how they made these, they might go over, they'd bend a young sapling tree over and let it grow that way with that staff, you know, where that bend would be in it. They used to do that here for cane grinders and cane mills. Y'all know what a cane? I'm ahead of y'all. I'm old. Y'all ain't old. I'm old. They used to go to cane grinders. They always had an old long pole, you know. It was always bent. I wonder how they always found them bent trees like that. Well, a lot of times they'd go over and they'd bend them out in the woods, let them grow there for a year or two. They got ready for one, then they'd go cut it down. It was already the same shape they wanted it in. That's kind of what they'd done to these staffs. It was a very helpful thing, these scabs, because it was used for guidance. Guidance. And you know, whenever Moses was at the Red Sea, and you know, they had a rod and a staff, and you know, he stretched out his hand and the Red Sea opened and they walked across on dry land and he held it up, you know, and then it closed back up. You know, by the way, when I was looking this up, you know, I hadn't found no place in the Bible where it says there's a bridge. I said, surely. I went all through the Bible and I can't find a word where it said that. I guess there were some bridges in there, but there was no sign of a bridge in the Bible, in the Word of God. I'm sure there had to be some bridges for them to cross. I reckon every time they held up the staff, but there was no bridges in the Word of God have I ever found. But I'm sure there were some bridges. But you know what the staff was used for? It was used there, you know, for the pull those sheep back and help, so it guides us and it helps us along as we walk through that valley of the shadow of death. And I was reading over in Scotland, there's a very, very beautiful, beautiful lake. And to view this lake, you got to go through what they call the Dark Mile. It takes a valley, and they have to go through this Dark Mile. It's treacherous. It's hard to get there. I mean, it's rough, and it's hot, and it's dirty, and there's no way to get it except walk. And you climb and you walk to see this beautiful, beautiful lake. Well, they carried this man up to see this beautiful lake, and man, it took them a while to get up there. They had to hike and go through these bushes, you know, and get up there to this lake. And when they got to the top of the lake, they said, you know, this is the most beautiful lake I ever saw. But I don't believe it'd been near so beautiful if we hadn't come through that dark mile, through all that valley and all we traveled through to get there. You see, whenever we get to heaven, it's going to be so beautiful. I want to think about this, all this barren life that we live here on this earth. If it weren't for all these valleys that we have to go through, heaven might not be what we think it would be, but all the time that we're going through there, heaven is going to be so much greater because of what we have to go through down here on this life also. And heaven's going to be heaven because Jesus Christ is there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And he's always going to be with us. So through this valley, there's comfort ahead of us. There's comfort for me now is knowing that I'm going to have to use this one day. I'm talking to you, and God's talking to me. One of these days, I'm going to have to use this. One of these days, you're going to have to use this. And your family, your loved ones are going to have to use this. And it's going to happen just as sure as you alive this day. There's going to come a time of appointment that you're going to have to use this. Now, I've never died before. It says one time. I'm glad it says one time. I never died before. But you know how I got a picture that I've shared many times with you? And I said, I believe that'll be the sweetest time that you ever, ever could realize, because you're going to be so close to Jesus and Jesus is going to be so close to you. All the sweetness. I don't believe we'll fear. You know, a lot of times I fear death. You ever had a hurting in your chest? Lord, is this it? Is this it, I wonder? Been through bypass surgery. Lord, is this it? Am I going to make up? Is this it? I got another pain. And you know, it wasn't it. I was scared a little bit. You ever been scared? You ever been a little bit worried about that pain? You might not make it. It could be it. You know why you were scared? Because it wasn't it. When it comes time for it, you won't be scared. I believe that. Because God says, I'll be with you in that presence. Bless you tonight in this verse of scriptures. Took me a long time to put this together, but I got a blessing out of it. And I hope that you did. Do we have just a short pause here for our prayer? And y'all remember these families lost of loved ones. A lot of sickness. A lot of people can stand up and testify this hour. Some problems are having. The family problems. Oh boy, I tell you, we got a lot of family problems. Let us bow in silent prayer for just a moment.